Hello and welcome to Not a Safe Space. This is Sabrina.
And Tabby.
Hey girl, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
Good. I know who's not doing well this morning.
Yeah. Just in time for episode 53.
We woke up this morning and the president and first lady
have COVID.
Have tested positive for COVID with minor symptoms at this point. But right. Feeling well.
Okay, exactly. But look, it was only a matter of time. I mean, we all had to pretty much expect that this was going to come at some point.
To whom? To him or to anybody?
Well, to him. I mean, he's not immune from it. He's surrounded by lots of people. He can't really be in quarantine. And he's not like he's the only world leader that got COVID. So we just... You know,
what do you think about the criticism during the debate where he was criticized for having all these opened rallies with 12,000-15,000 people attending, and Joe Biden had chosen not to do that and hold these smaller, you know, 5-6 people and stay within the 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were asking about that on debate night, which was what, Tuesday?
Yeah, I think it was Tuesday.
And he was saying it was no big deal. And Friday morning, happy COVID day, Mr. President.
Right.
It's a little bit ironic. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are getting a good laugh out of it, right? Because they asked him about it. And he was like, no, we're following all the safety precautions. And he pulled out his mask and says, I wear this thing when I have to. And there you go. But Joe doesn't have it yet.
Well,
so
we don't know. Joe,
but
Joe won't get tested either, so...
If he gets sick, of course he's going to get tested, Tabby.
I mean, I know, but...
It's ironic and it's funny. It's not the president did anything wrong.
Right.
But,
and he's going to get hell for it. Because, you know, he busted everybody's balls about it, and now he's got it, so... You know?
Yeah,
it's got to eat a little bit for it.
Yeah, for sure. You got to eat a little bit of, what do they call that? Eat a little bit of crow. I do really, really hate, and if you are one of these people that are posting this morning, shame on you. And I can't even believe that you'd call yourself an American and somebody who cares about the overall country. But the people that have posted this morning that they hope they get sick, they hope that they get deathly ill by it or good riddance to him or anything like that, is terrible. It doesn't matter who the standing president is. It doesn't matter if you didn't vote for him. For you to wish a death of our president, you have no idea what that would do to this country. And what a vulnerable state that puts our country in just from outside attacks. And our generation, most of us haven't suffered the loss of a president.
Mm-mm.
I don't think we want to go through that. And anybody born before September 11th who hasn't gone through some type of national tragedy like that, shame on you for wishing it upon us.
Exactly.
Because that would be fucking terrible.
It makes you a fucking horrible human being.
I
don't care that he's the president.
Right.
You're wishing death upon somebody else.
I don't have a problem with that. There's a lot of people that I don't care if they drop dead. I'm not trying to be a perfect fucking person over here. I could name two right now. Good fucking riddance.
Okay.
However, and I don't even have anybody in mind, but I guarantee I got two people that I could give a shit less if they died. For you to wish it upon the leader of our country is just a terrible thing, I think. It just shows to me that you don't have the best interest of America. That is your own personal desire to wish that man dead. How can you call yourself an American?
Right. Well, because they're not thinking about themselves as an American. They're thinking about the fact that they just so hate Trump so bad that there's emotional attachment to it. And they just fucking want him gone because they think he's the devil.
Right. Yeah. It's terrible. But I'm not saying that with that said, we can't make fun of him for the irony of the question the other day. And here you are sick.
Agreed. Absolutely. Well, timing's a little off, but oh well.
Yep. Yeah, it happened. So we're wishing him a speedy recovery. There's only, what, 40-something days till the election?
Yeah.
So he's got to get back out there and on the road.
Yeah, he does. And he needs to man up and take the precautions and do the shit he needs to do.
Yeah, and speaking of that, because I'm assuming there's still going to be other debates, right?
I have no idea, but let's talk about the only one we've seen so far.
Did you watch it?
I did.
Oh, my God. What a fucking hell.
I was.
Well, first of all, we were all excited. We got movie theater candy. Ethan was there. Amaris was there. Nate was there. We were excited to watch
it. Was like watching Tiger King.
It was worse than that, though. It gave me a headache. They wouldn't stop bickering the entire time.
All I could think about was how men say women are always bickering and ning-ning-ning-ning-ning-ning-ning-ning-ning-ning-ning-ning like that. All I could think about was, are you fucking kidding me? Do you not hear these three men? Because I include Wallace in this bullshit, too. Mm-hmm. It was such a shit show.
I wonder, and I assume I know the answer, if the president wakes up the next day and his team plays him back some of his behavior, and if he's like, oh, yeah, okay, maybe I was a little immature there. Or if he wakes up and he's like, brilliant, that was brilliant. Oh, that was funny.
Yeah.
If he is just okay with the way, I personally liked what Wallace was doing. I liked that he just kept reminding him, look, you agreed to 2 minutes. Please stick
right.
with it. What you guys are doing is not helpful to the American people.
No.
We came here to listen to you debate.
We have a headache. Because nothing was accomplished. No minds were changed in any direction whatsoever. It was a fucking mm-hmm. waste of time. It was ridiculous. And it was just, it was horrible. And I think of all the debates I have watched in my life, this was the shittiest.
It was. It literally was the one where there was no winner at
all.
You can't claim a winner on either side. I wish that Donald Trump would have just stopped talking and allowed Joe Biden to speak and hang himself.
Yeah.
Because that's what Joe does. Stop talking. And let him say all the shit
right.
that he will say, that we know Joe will say.
Exactly. And I think, I don't know if his strategy was to, like, throw Biden off because, you know, Biden was prepped, like, really, really, really hardly prepped for this so he wouldn't do Joe Biden. And mm-hmm. I don't know if it was his strategy, but just to, like, keep throwing him off, right, by interrupting. I can understand that a few times, but there's so many times I was like, oh my gosh, please just stop. This is ridiculous. You know?
Right. I did hear a lot of the commentaries before the debate
mm-hmm.
and what Republicans were recommending for President Trump against Biden. And they kept saying that he should get him off his kilter, right? Because he would be extra prep, and the best way to get the real Joe Biden
mm-hmm.
is to get under his feathers. Mention his
yes.
son. And that's what I told Ethan. I said, look, there's these six topics, and they're going to say, sir, what do you believe in COVID? And you're going to hear Donald Trump's go, Joe Biden's son took $3 million from Russia.
Yep.
And everybody be like, wait, well, what was the question again?
No,
Donald Trump doesn't pay taxes.
Right.
Wait, what are we talking about? And I said, just wait, because they're going to be throwing these little things out.
Oh, yeah.
And it worked. He started, you heard Joe Biden tell him to shut up.
Yep.
You heard him call him a clown and then correct himself really quickly. I mean, President Trump, if he would have let him be Joe, President Trump would have won.
Yeah.
Because I also think that the president sounded more knowledgeable this time around.
Right.
Now that he's got 4 years under his belt compared to when he argued with
Hillary.
And I just call it arguing with Hillary because that's all they really did. He wasn't as knowledgeable as he was this time, I think.
Agreed. Because he's been in the office for 4 years and he has some experience under his belt.
Right. I don't understand the Democratic argument of he ruined the economy and didn't respond to COVID enough as too quickly, because that's direct opposite. Mm-hmm. They say that he shut down the economy in March the same time he responded to COVID. It's all the same action.
Right, except how, and they're trying to play it for their benefit. But if you also remember, Trump shut down the borders in January, not March. He shut,
January. I think it was in February.
It was end of January, early February. He shut the borders down because Biden fucking called him a xenophobe and a racist and all that stuff for shutting it down.
I think it was in February, because that was something else that, you know, factually wasn't correct with what Biden was saying, because Nate and I had gone to New York City at the end of February. And in February is when in New York, all of a sudden, you started seeing people wear gloves. Like, COVID was a thing.
Right.
Where we were starting to talk about it. The city was starting to prep for it. The citizens were starting to prep for it because Donald Trump started making some changes. Right.
And I mean, close the border.
How can you blame one and blame the other of, well, did he act? If he would have, if they wanted him to shut the economy down in January, that means we would have been doing this for a whole fucking year. At least we got two months of working out of this year. Like, what do they want from him?
Exactly. They don't want anything from him, because it doesn't matter what he does, because anything he does or doesn't do, they're going to spend to make him look like a horrible person. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to. They give him no props for, shutting down the economy and shutting our country down to save lives. But at the same time, Biden turns around and says, we lost 200,000 people. How horrible. You don't care about COVID. And you ruined our economy.
Right.
So you can't win with people like that. Because
it's literally the argument against one another. You ruined our economy because you shut it down too quickly and you shut us down. You don't care about Americans because you've opened back up and kickstarted our economy.
Right, that you're complaining about.
Right, I don't really get it. So when they were doing it, I was like, that doesn't make sense, man. That argument doesn't even make fucking sense.
It doesn't. And as I was listening to him, I was like, so what? Does Biden just want everyone to stay home and the government is just going to feed us checks?
Right.
Because that doesn't work.
And let me ask you about the things that you care about. Do you care about Biden's son getting money from Russia?
Not necessarily in this political, not like as whether I'm going to vote for him or not. No. I mean,
yeah, it has nothing to do with it. Don't care. Don't know. Stop bringing it up. It's not helpful. It's not doing anything. The other
but
thing,
it does,
Trump's taxes.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about Trump's taxes.
And why don't you give a shit about Trump's
taxes? Sam, I don't give a shit about your taxes. It doesn't make a difference.
Do you have a problem with him only paying $750 in taxes?
Well, and I'm going to preface it this with, our tax code is so fucking complicated and so ridiculous that man probably spent millions in other types of taxes through his businesses and blah, blah, blah. So no, I don't care, because he's paid his fair share back into the system.
Uh-huh. So this is my opinion of it. I think it's funny, first of all, that Republicans just don't care. They're like, well, we don't care. But I think what they're failing to do is to explain why they don't care. Because the truth of the matter, Republican or Democrat, none of us want to pay taxes. No. And all of us go into that software and we click as many exemptions as we're legally allowed to retain and get our money back.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we are an hourly employee, a salary employee, or a multimillionaire, we're all playing that same game within the lines of the law.
Yep.
Within the laws that they've created. And that's what Trump said at one point. He said, I don't know how much I pay taxes, but if that's how much I paid, I'm following the laws.
So you can't be mad at him for that.
If you don't like the laws, you have to change the laws.
Right.
You can't just say he only paid $750 million or $750 in taxes. What you should say is maybe the tax reform that the Republicans have created have allowed multimillionaires to only pay this amount of tax.
Right. If that is.
Well, fine.
Right.
That's a different thing, right? That's like, okay, well, maybe we do need a shift of who's in there. Maybe they're only looking out for the rich guys and not the poorer guys. But don't sit on your fucking high horse and complain about $750 in taxes when if that's what H&R Block told me I had to pay, I'd pay it in
exactly.
Second.
And let's be really honest. Those same tax loops, all the rich Democrats are taking advantage of as well.
All of them. Yeah.
Oh, and guess what?
All of them.
There's really no poor people in our fucking Congress or Senate who are making these tax laws. So let's be real fucking real about it.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I think that when Republicans answer the question of do they care, or they're posting on Facebook about it, is they really just need to kind of point out the hypocrisy of it. None of us are writing big happy checks for our taxes and happy for
no.
it. We claim as many exemptions as we can to keep our money. You can't hate somebody for doing the same things we all do.
Well, correct. But that's what the Democrats do. They say, do you care?
It's what everybody does. It's what everybody does.
The question is, do you care? And using the word care invokes an emotion to it instead of it being factual. And that is what they do. They invoke an emotion. So they're like, do you care that Trump only paid $750 in taxes? No, I don't fucking care. He should be paying more. He's a horrible person. This is a natural response because they're invoking an emotion. It's all fucking strategy.
Oh, yeah, of course. And it's strategy that people fall for. Instantly, the moment I see something about the $750 tax bill you paid, you see it all over Facebook.
Right.
And they're so, I don't know.
And they
know.
Get
Goodness
so
gracious.
Angry.
Well, everybody does on each side. It's like, take a chill pill, people. What the fuck? Thankfully, we only got 40 days, but chill the fuck
right?
out.
Well, then we're going to have chill the craziness out. Afterwards, because you know,
right.
there's going to be that, of course.
I will say this. I wanted to say that I do believe that Trump is an honest person. I think that maybe he says some whack shit sometimes that is unfactual, or, you know, when he said, we have 115, and then he was like, 300, and we're like, wait, how'd you go from 115 to 300? But okay, like he was estimating, but that's a big jump, dude.
Right.
That sounds like a lie or a stretch of the truth rather than just a rough estimate. But I do think the reason he interrupts is because he is truthful. When Joe Biden says a stupid fact that is not factual, he can't help himself but go, wrong, that's not right. That's not, nope.
Right.
And because he wants to be... He wants to correct, and I think he has also lived in a world that he could be that person, right? He has been the CEO, the president, this, that sits at the head of the corporate table and doesn't have to wait in line.
And that's a valid point. And I also think it has some to do with human response, right? Like, if I'm sitting here and having a conversation, you and I are debating, and I'm saying that something that is blatantly untrue about something you're involved with and something that you're held responsible for, your natural reaction is going to stop me and interrupt because someone else is going to have the wrong idea, right? Or have the wrong perception of you and have the wrong facts. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think it's a natural reaction. However, I think that a politician or somebody else in different power, you're trained not to be reactionary like that in business. I just don't think he's ever held a place where he's had to be the second man in charge.
Right.
And so he's always been able to say his opinion and he's always been able to interrupt. And it's hard to untrain that after 75 years or ever.
I think he's 74, but yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, do you think that there'll be another... debate now? that they've got Corona. They got that Rona.
They got that Rona. I don't know. You know what? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Yeah. After this one, there's no point. At this point, there is no point in doing a debate because it's not going to prove anything. Do your personal rallies, do your this, do whatever on your own campaign trail, and then just let the votes fall where they're going to fall, because at this point, people's minds are just so made up. I don't think it's going to make a difference.
Yeah. And when we recorded last time, did we make it to phase three yet? Or did that happen later?
That happened later.
So we are officially on phase three in Florida. So all our restaurants are back open. Everything's open to full capacity. The mask policies are still in place for certain counties. Right. I know St. Augustine just lifted theirs.
Okay.
So that makes me very excited that that's very close to North Florida. Yay! Maybe
you.
Duval County, Clay County, and the rest of us will be shortly after.
Yeah, that's going to be, I think that's population wise probably. Because like I'm sure down south, they're making you still wear those masks.
Oh, yeah. Shit. I mean, I'd be surprised if, even though the state of Florida is on phase three, if South Florida doesn't just kind of linger behind us for a long time. There's a ton of fucking people.
Exactly.
I do like what that means, though, for restaurants, Disney World, movie theaters, all those places can open back up. There's no restriction to their capacity. They cannot be fined for it. And you cannot be fined or penalized now. You cannot be fined or cited for your mask now.
Oh, good.
So that's a difference. Now, you can still be asked to leave places, but you cannot be fined or cited for it. So that's an improvement.
And you mentioned Disney. I saw on the news that they had laid off 6,500 non-union workers at Disney.
Yeah.
That's a
28,000 just in, I thought it was 28,000 in the one in LA.
No, this is just in Florida.
Oh, well, the larger number is coming out of, they did it the same day to Disneyland.
Okay.
And California's got, I think it's either 18,000 or 28, but there was an 8.
Wow.
Of Disney employees in Cali, because we all know the West Coast is fucking crazy.
Yep.
And they're still back in May. It's still May 2020 today.
It is. And nobody's going to Cali.
No.
No.
No. Mm-mm. Nope. Hey, so I got a fun question for you. Well, first, an update on my bathroom.
Yes.
You sent me a message on it. Nate and I were laying in bed the other day, and we just need to get our shower and tub basically finished is where we're at, guys. And Nate said something like, I can't wait till it's all done. And I said, I just can't wait to use the bathroom. I'm tired of waiting in line.
Because you have to wait for the kids.
Yeah, because I was like, that sounds super stuck up, but I'm not sorry for that.
It's not stuck up.
I have a three bedroom or a three bathroom house for the four of us, and I'm used to it just being Nate and I, and to have my own counter space and to know where my dirty clothes are, and it's only my dirty clothes in my pile, and not to wait in line if I have to shower or pee or this, and I'm over that.
Yeah, and let's go ahead and clarify. First of all, that is not selfish. You pay a fucking mortgage, okay? That is just a natural right of your age. If anything, your children...
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of people that still share... that. Have to share bathrooms, so we want to be kind.
Well, I'm not going to be kind, because I pay my fucking mortgage, and I don't want to have to wait in line for the bathroom. I'm not in a sorority house anymore. I'm not sharing an apartment with three other girls, you know? Sorry.
Right.
Shit's changed. Look, I am in my 30s, almost in my 40s. It is my comfort years from here on out.
Right. Your comfort years... Girl, you haven't had kids. You've been living your comfort years the last 36, 7 years of your fucking life.
Oh, why do you say that?
Well, how have you not? You went out, you came out of college, you worked a few years.
Yeah, I worked a many years.
You met the man of your dreams. Got married, stopped working, worked from home.
Yeah.
And waiting to buy a boat and sail the world. When did you stop living your comfort years? Give me a break.
Oh, well, I can't help it. I planned it all out very well.
So I'm tired of standing in a line, and it sounds like you would be too if you had.
I would be.
So my second weird conversation that I've had in the last week that I wanted to ask you about is there is a new website called OnlyFans.com.
Okay, what is that?
And anybody can join it, and then you get monthly members to watch you talk, to watch you undress, to see something. It's something. I mean, they might be masturbating on there. They might be doing whatever.
Okay.
So during that conversation, we're all talking, and they talked.
Who's having this conversation?
My husband and Jen and Chad.
Okay, I was just making sure it's adults.
On a date night. Yeah, well, of course. So then we say something about selling panties online, that you can sell your panties online.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing. I also didn't realize that I wasn't opposed to it. Because think of this. It's nothing terrible, right? All you have to do... I wear Victoria's Secret panties. It's the only ones I wear. They're lace. They're nice panties. So if somebody's getting that as a gift, no matter what, it's already a win, right?
Oh, okay. So you mean it like for that? I was thinking something like more like some creepy guy wants to buy your panties and sniff them.
Oh, no. It gets worse. Okay.
Worse than that.
So just getting a brand new pair of Victoria's Secret panties is a plus. Now, all I have to do is buy those underwear that I'm buying anyways. Slide them on. Go to the gym, run my errands, go to hockey, maybe walk my 10,000 steps, stick them in a bag, seal them up, and mail them to somebody that I'm never going to meet, that I'm never going to talk to. It is a business arrangement where I upload it on the internet. It's somebody, I guarantee if I did a 15K, somebody would be paying more money for those panties than a regular gym day.
Oh my God, no, you. Oh my God.
Would you be I'm literally not doing anything wrong but selling merchandise. How is it any different than like selling face creams or jewelry or used clothing, right?
Well, yeah, except for it's just got your smell all over it.
All over it.
Oh my goodness. Wow. I don't know. Like,
so for $100 a panty, you wear 7 to 10 pairs of underwear a day. So $100.
What's the website's name called again?
Exactly.
Because I'm
sending
some fuckers my dirty panties. I don't care.
Yeah. It only costs you $7.50 because those underwear go on sale constantly at Victoria's Secret. So $7.50. You make a $90 profit on a pair of underwear.
What's the shipping cost?
Are you doing anything weird? I'm just estimating $3. I wear mediums. They're not that big.
Yeah, because you got a small ass. You know, mine's...
All right. So, but that's the thing. Like, is there... there's probably guys that like a bigger pair of underwear. There's probably guys... I wear cheeky ones that might prefer a thong. That's not... that doesn't sound comfortable. That's not a job I want. I don't want a thong in my ass all day just to make $100 a day. Not in it.
I might just for $100. Yeah, no.
So do you think it's weird? Like if you could make up to $100 for a pair of panties and you have to mail it to strangers all over the world, they don't know you. They don't speak to
you. Is your name?
You are literally wearing it.
Is your name anonymous?
Yeah, you could be whoever you want.
Girl. I'm just saying, that's $100.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. When they were talking about it, and they were so disgusted. Jen and I were looking at each other, and I was like, that doesn't sound like a bad fucking deal.
The guys were disgusted?
You don't get to see my tits. You don't get to, yeah. Nate and Chad were disgusted by it. Well, because they don't want to order somebody's musty ass fucking underwear. But... they were thinking it's weird. And then Jen and I made eye contact and I was like, I'll tell you what, I might be in.
Hey, and you know what's even better about it? Not only are you making money, but you don't have to wash them afterwards.
Yeah, your laundry bill is down, right? Less Tide Pods, less scenty shit, less water,
right.
Less electricity. Brand new pair of underwear every day.
There you go.
That's the life.
I'm not seeing a problem with this.
I know. I think
so. So are you going to do it is the question.
Fuck no. Oh. No, I think it would creep the fuck out of my children.
How would your children know?
Listen, if I'm going to sell my underwear online, I'm going to do it proudly and not like, if that's the thing, if you're going to do it, then you need to tell people like, yeah, I sell my panties online.
You're going to advertise? You want a pair?
No, but you should be proud of it, right? Like, why hide it? That's the thing. If you're going to do it and then hide it, don't
right.
do it. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You're literally selling your used clothes.
Yep, you really are.
What if you sell your used bathing suit and there's some weirdo spanking off to that? That's, I don't know what they're doing with it. They might be scientists for all I know.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe. It's not my
problem. You're really hoping on that one. You're shooting a little high.
No, I could care less. Once it goes into the mailbox or I get that deposit in my PayPal, I don't care what you do with my underwear, sir or ma'am.
Could you imagine being the mailman delivering that shit?
Well, they have no idea. I already have one of those vacuum sealers.
Oh, my God. So you're just going to vacuum seal it and then ship it?
Yeah. That way it holds its maximum freshness.
Or mustiness.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Sabrina. That's so gross.
Yeah. But I don't think it's that terrible. Now, what about pictures of your body if there's zero identifying markings? Nope. Wouldn't it?
Nope.
What about talking to people? What if people would pay you $5 a day just to get onto YouTube and talk to
them? $5 a day? No. Just, yeah. No.
With multiple subscribers? I mean, that's what only fans only is that you get like 200 subscribers that want a 30-minute video from Tabby every day of inspirational talk.
Yeah, except for this is a porn site where they want to hear dirty talk.
Well, so let me clarify. The site itself is not supposed to be that, but just like any site has become, it's becoming something that's a little racier. But I do think that there's people out there that would pay $5 a day to go listen to somebody super inspirational talk.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all you have to do?
I'm sure. So it sounds very much like Patreon, where you have to really build your subscribers and blah. Yeah. Right. No. The amount of work that's required to get to the level that you're talking about, I'm out.
Yeah, that's why I'm sticking with the panties, because that definitely will just take off right
away.
Yeah,
well, yeah, because there's a lot of perverts.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. That's, I'm not going to do it unless real hard times hit.
Well, yeah.
But if so, now I have a backup
right?
plan, which is, it's very mature of me, so.
But you know what you probably could do, even make it even easier, is just buy underwear, and I don't know if you can buy this or not, but maybe there's a spray that smells like pussy.
No way.
And you just spray the panties and then you send it out, because then you could send out multiple pairs a day.
No, that's lazy and that's lack of quality.
No, that's not lazy. That's efficient.
No, it's lack of quality, because this is.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Hold on. What did you say?
I said, if you guys need help getting your panties in a certain smell, I'll.
Dion just said, if you need help getting your panties to a certain smell, he'll help.
See?
No, right?
I told you there's a market for this.
Oh, it's on a podcast?
Yes, you're on the podcast. Good job, honey.
I'll call you back.
You dork. So Dion just made a debut and didn't even know it.
No, he didn't, but that's okay. We love Dion. And of course, he'd walk in while we're talking about selling our panties online.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, he would.
See, I think this is the problem with the spray, because this is what we were talking about, was that you can charge a certain price for the depth of
stench?
Aroma.
There you go.
of your panties. Because, like I said, Gate River Run Day, somebody's into that. Somebody is into those soaking wet. The ones that you got to roll off your body because your underwear is so fucking wet that day, ladies. somebody's into
now,
that.
Now, does that mean...
But somebody likes just a light errand day.
Yeah. But, you know, does that mean you get to charge extra if it's like your period and all those extra pheromones?
I almost vomited. I never even thought
I mean, because, you know, that's a special kind of smell.
I couldn't do that day. I couldn't. I'm not into that. That would keep me from becoming a millionaire and selling my underwear because I'm not willing to make that commitment. That is fucking gross. I'm okay with somebody beating off to my sweaty, musty underwear, but
No. I'm not saying period blood. I'm saying that just during that week, you know, you got extra pheromones and stuff coming out of your body. So that's a different kind of smell. So that's high quality aroma right there. So you need to upcharge that shit because it only happens once a month.
I'm back in, and I believe in that because I saw it in a movie one time where the guy says something. It was a serial killer says something about he could smell that she was pregnant or something like that because he could smell her hormones.
Oh, yeah. All right.
I'm
back in. No, I wasn't trying to be all gross. Like, no, No.
So the other thing I want to bring up before I move on is I heard a really good line this weekend when we were out celebrating Howie's birthday. We were talking about memories with my sister-in-law, and my sister-in-law Marie said, "When was that?" And we said, "When it was." And she goes, "I'm drinking too much since then." Not that she drank that much that night 15 years ago, but in the last 15 years, she's drank too much to remember that. And it's funny because when she said that, that was a line. It's a feeling that I didn't know how to describe to people because lately people have been saying, "Well, do you remember this time or this time?" And it's not that I was completely tanked those times, but my memory is starting to fade where I'm like, I didn't drink too much. But then when she said, "I've drank too much since
Yeah, you erased the... You erased like, a couple extra memories while you were along with it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep, I understand. There's times people are like, "Oh, don't you remember?" And I'm like, "Nope." So let me tell you what I haven't. I have an experience like that. So I've started the new business. I'm selling jewelry, and my mom posted a thing on Facebook, and a lady responded, and so I started talking to her, blah, 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 all this fun stuff, right? So she mentions willing to throw a party, and I was like, "Sure, I'll come up there." And she's like, "Do you know where I live?" And I'm like, "Yeah, you're my mom's friend. You're in Brevard County." She's like, "No." She's like, "I'm your mom's sister. You're my niece." She's like, "I live in New York." And I was like, "Oh,
right.
Oh, shit." She's like, "Remember Virginia Beach and all these memories from like 2000? And she started sending me pictures of my mother and her. And I'm going, I was like, "Look, I'm going to be straight up." I was talking to my mom. She's like, "Don't you remember?" I said, "Yeah, I remember going to Virginia Beach. And I remember three things. I remember us riding these weird carts on the boardwalk. I remember the ocean, the sound of the ocean in the living room because we were right on the beach. And the other thing I remember was waiting to get my ass to Florida for the summer. Everything else is a fucking blur. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened." So.
And also, like you said, like those little tiny memories, those are the ones that kind of matter to you, right? The other little things don't. And so they kind of fade away.
Yeah, they do.
Like a sound is something easy to connect to that vacation or a smell or something.
Right.
You know, compared to, I can't stand when my husband says I know somebody and just because I've met them before. I don't care how many fucking times I've met you. If I'm not engaging with you, and made it a point to remember you, like in my business that I have to, I don't know who you are. And I'm going to keep saying, "Oh, nice to meet you," every single time.
Right. I understand.
Yeah,
you're like, "Oh, yeah, that's so great. Blah, blah, blah. Da, da, da." I always hate when you have those conversations and you're talking to someone and you're just willing and you're like, oh, would they please, for the love of God, say their name so I don't sound like an asshole. Please say your name. Please say your name. Somebody please say their freaking name, because I'm going to have to be an asshole and say their name at one point. Then you've got to play the he, she game. And it's like, ah.
Nate does it all the time because we run into people that he knows everywhere we go, right? Somewhere we're running into somebody who knows Nate. The problem is my husband doesn't remember them. And so he won't introduce me because
he doesn't know the name.
He can't say their name. So whenever we walk away, that's the first thing he'll say is, sorry, I didn't introduce you. I didn't know their name. But I'm so used to it that I know, like, if he doesn't remember him, it's just fucking awkward. And Nate's not a gabber, so then it's just weird. I hate it, but whatever.
It would be very awkward with him in that situation.
Yeah.
At least, now, Dion can forget somebody's name, but he can still hold on to conversation. But sometimes he kind of looks at me, and I go, that's this person and this person. And he's like, oh, okay, got it.
Right, right. What about your weight loss? In episode 51, you've done the IV thing. Thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
Telling the ladies about it yesterday.
Yeah. And look, I felt great. I had the energy. It felt great on my joints. But about a week later, after it went away, that was it. It was done. It was over. It's not sustainable. It was too expensive. And, you know, at this point, I've given up hope for a little bit right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not busting my ass in workouts and that sort of stuff. And I'm trying to maintain a decent, healthy diet. I'm cutting back on my portions, right? But I just need to get on one of those fucking weight loss program things.
Right, right.
Where they give me the prepackaged food and I just need to spend the money and do it and fucking lose the weight. And then maybe by then I'll start feeling better to, like, start exercising more.
Yeah.
But right now, I don't feel like it's worth anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're not working out now?
Nope, I'm not. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's your choice. It's your decision, right? And if it's not working, then why bother?
Why do it, right? Because it's not like it's something I thoroughly enjoy doing, right?
Yeah. Right,
I mean, if I was getting fucking results, yeah, I'm going to do it.
Sure.
But otherwise, I can spend the time doing something else, like eating a bag of Fritos.
Right. Well, or what you're not going to do is go to fucking Subway. Did you see that article I sent you?
Oh, my God. I saw that the other day on the news. I was like, what in the hell?
Subway. Yeah, so I pulled it from the Journal IE website. Subway sandwiches contain too much sugar to legally be considered bread, Supreme Court ruled.
Okay, so when they were, I was reading the article and it was like VAT and then this percentage and that percentage and blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, I don't understand any of this. All I understand is that there's too much fucking sugar in the bread. And I don't know how Pedo Jared lost all that weight.
Well, this is the thing about Jared is I don't know if I completely believed he lost all that weight by just eating Subway sandwiches, but I do think whatever Jared was eating to get 600 pounds was way worse than eating 1 to 2 subs a day, right? It probably was a superfood diet for him.
Mm-hmm.
If he was just eating bags of Fritos and imagine the things that 600 pound people eat.
And how much of it they eat.
Yeah, so probably in Jared's case, fine. But in everyday people like us and the people living or listening to us now, how deceitful of Subway to advertise as the healthy choice when they're serving us loads of sugar.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm so sick of it. And you know what? Someone needs to sue Subway over that because that information's not disclosed. And you're fucking killing people. Obesity is a huge ass problem in this country. And it's because everything has fucking added sugar in it.
Right, right. And I like that. So Subway had the opportunity to defend themselves in court. And that's where they were talking about the VAT or whatever it was.
Right.
And I like that the judge just said, because what Subway was trying to do was this math of, well, yes, it has that much sugar in it, but it's got this and that and blah, blah, blah. And the judges rejected the argument, agreeing that it was clear that once the allowed percentage was exceeded from any one ingredient, the bread lost its 0% rate and it can't be considered bread at that point.
Right.
So they're basically serving you lunch meat and vegetables on sugar loaves.
Yes, pretty much. Like a biscuit.
Right, which, and again, let's be honest, place Jimmy John's, fucking terrible for you. A lot of those places, terrible right. for you.
But the problem is they're advertising themselves as healthy.
Yeah, that's the part that I've got a problem with. And I wonder if this ruling then will become a result of lawsuits because of claiming that they're healthy choices. If right. they're not, if they're not serving us healthy bread, and it's the sugar content is so high that it actually excludes yourself from bread.
There's a problem.
Yeah, there's an advertising issue, right?
There's a misrepresentation because you're not eating healthy food. So someone like me who's trying to lose weight, having a fucking hard time with it, I go to Subway thinking, oh, I'm eating healthy, feeling good about it. But really, instead, I'm just shoving sugar down my ass and I don't understand why I'm still fat.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's very, very frustrating.
It's horrible.
I don't know what I was going to say about it. Yeah, it's bad. I was reading where I said, you know, bread, beer, and everything else, anything with sugar turns into fat.
Yes.
So if people are relying on this soft, squishy bread, even when you order the whole wheat, if they've put enough, no wonder why. Well, this is the bad thing.
This
you
is why it tastes so good. Fucking,
well, I was going to say it doesn't taste that great as some of the other sub places, right?
Right.
Subway is not the sub place to go. Let's be honest. In Florida, it's
Publix.
People would rather eat at the fucking grocery store than a Subway's.
Right.
Nobody craves Subway sandwiches. You've put that much sugar in it and you're still last. You're still last.
That's pretty bad, right?
Yeah. That's fucking terrible.
It is.
You know why? Because their sandwiches haven't changed in decades. And
yep.
When you actually get the new sandwich that maybe has chicken breast or something on there, it looks like a fucking rubber chicken sitting on your sandwich.
It does. That meat it's doesn't gross. Feel like real meat.
It doesn't. Yeah.
And it comes all pre-soaked in that sugar-filled dressings and no.
Yeah, not it's a fan. So
no.
It'll be interesting to see how Subway now recovers from this and how they have to change.
Yeah.
Are they going to change their ingredients? I think that's probably the best bet, right? They got to go right. back out to the bread market and find new bread.
So what I do with bread is I really try to stay away from it unless I'm eating the sourdough bread from Aldi because there's all of 5 ingredients in there.
Right.
Right. Or I'm making my own bread, which I haven't done in a while. Because when I make my own bread, there's only a few ingredients.
Yeah.
That's how long bread is supposed to last, right? Like real healthy bread.
Is there sugar in the bread that you're putting in it?
So I use honey instead of sugar. So
yeah,
it is
the article said that bread should not have any sugar in it.
Right. So you use, well, because I make 100% whole wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't buy this whole wheat from Walmart because that's not whole wheat, even though it says...
Yeah, I remember you telling us about that, yeah.
Right. So you have to be careful because they're adding sugars into your flour and fucking you that way.
Yeah.
But because it is 100% whole wheat, I do add... It is literally a tablespoon of honey for the entire loaf. That's it.
Okay.
It's not like some huge amount, and it still tastes good because the wheat's good. The quality of the flour is really good.
Yeah. I eat bread. I mean, I don't eat a heavy carb diet, but I don't stay away from it. Yesterday I did not eat the bun to my brisket sandwich, but that's just because I need the meat more than I do the carbs for dinner. But for breakfast, I have a whole wheat, egg, and turkey sausage sandwich every single day.
Right.
And for lunch, I'll have a whole wheat and tuna fish or a whole wheat and turkey sandwich. I'm not afraid of bread. I think the biggest thing is portion, right? Carbs help fuel your body. It helps give you energy. So you need it. What you don't need is bars of sugar running through your body and not knowing. And that cheatingness is what's terrible, I think.
Right. And you're not eating a lot of carbs. So like my problem is I love pasta. I can eat pasta all fucking day long.
Yeah.
And that's nothing but carbs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the bad carbs because it's white flour that breaks down and then gives me a sugar high. And then I crash.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. I bet they just changed it. They're going to change the ingredients. They can't keep... They are the healthy restaurant. They can't move forward from this with the same ingredients. So they have to switch it up. So why don't we switch to... Where do you want to go next? Lobsters or birds?
Yeah, let's talk about lobsters.
All right, tell me about them.
Okay, so I found this article... And I was bored. I just started looking. But the only reason why I looked at this was because of number 8 facts. So just bear with me until I get to number 8. I'm going to start from 10.
Okay.
So lobster was once a poor man's food. It's crazy. Yeah.
Huh.
So in the 18th and early 19th century, a lobster was so abundant that you could just grab it out of the ocean and crack it open and eat it. Like, it was just right there. Poor people could get it. It was so prominent that they would feed the shells to the pigs and that they had servants filed a lawsuit against their masters so that they could only feed them lobster 3 times a week because there was so much lobster.
So they were anti-lobsters.
Right, because there was so much of it.
Right.
Well, what happened was, of course, the invention of the refrigerator and the transportation of the railroad and the ice boxes. And now it made lobster available to transit, then thus increased the demand.
Right.
Got it. That's how that happened. Number 9, this is stupid. They aren't usually red before cooking. I think most people know that, right? I'd hope.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe Midwesterners don't. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. But they're not red. That happens after you boil them.
Right.
Okay. Number 8. Lobsters pee out of their faces.
What?
They pee out of their faces. So, and like, there's this little place. Like, it just comes out. And peeing is also part of their mating ritual.
Okay, question. Are lobsters ex skeleton animals? Their skeletons are on the outside?
No, they're crustaceans. I don't know exactly what that
crustaceans.
Means.
Crustaceans.
Yeah.
I don't think that... I know that... Hold on one second. Lobsters. Because I'm wondering if they're exoskeletons. Because if you look at a lobster, right, it's head. They're segmented animals. Head, body. And then the long part is just this tail and this shell that rips right off of them. So,
right. But part of what we think is...
Do they not have the organs then because of the way their body shaped to go to the bathroom
right.
down the tube?
Yeah, no. So it's like they didn't get into it. Like, I don't know exactly.
No, I know. Just use your imagination. Like, you've seen a whole lobster, right? Just try to think it out of...
Well, they also
don't have organs.
They
so
don't
it's
have
got to shoot out of its mouth.
Right. They don't have organs. And they also don't have, like, a complex nervous system like we do.
Right. So there's no way for them to process food.
Right. So let me get to that because they also have 2 stomachs. So, like, up in what we would consider their head area... There's this tiny stomach that has teeth in it and that mills all the food in that they get it. And then it distributes it down into their actual stomach.
But not into where the meat part is, right? Because that middle section, it sounds like to me like all their stuff is happening in their head area.
Right.
If you think of a lobster, right, we crack the head off and you're only eating the body part.
Right. And we don't eat the head area.
And when you eat the body part, it simply is pulling out the body and cooking it.
Right.
There's no cleaning of it the way you would a shrimp.
Or a crab.
So both bellies
are pretty much at the top area.
Yeah, in their head. There's tiny little teeth
that mills it up.
Sounds frightening.
It does. So let me tell you, let's get back to the peeing though.
Yeah.
So female lobsters seek out the most aggressive male, right? And shows interest by peeing repeatedly into his shelter. So she's like, you're the badass. I'm going to come over here and I'm going to piss in your bed. Talk about a golden shower. And she
talk about marking your territory.
Literally. So their urine has pheromones in it that calms down the male to get him into the mood. And then lobsters also pee in each other's faces during fights to express their mood. So when two males are fighting, they're fucking pissing at each other too.
Oh my God.
I know. It's crazy. So
that's so gross.
I know, but
they have fucking claws.
Well, they do that too, but they're like straight up, they're like clipping at each other and pissing.
That's a bitch move. I'm gonna be honest, that's a bitch move. If somebody's pissing on somebody to win a fight and you got these big ass claws, you're a bitch. Somebody started that. It obviously worked because then the other lobsters all joined in together.
Yeah, because they're all pissing now.
Yeah, but that was a bitch move.
Right. So, okay.
That's
so
the guy not getting laid. He's the one that the women were not searching for.
Okay, maybe. We'll see. Number six, losing a claw is no big deal. So they, get this, lobsters have dominant claws like we have left-handed and right-handed.
I knew that, yeah. Crabs, too.
Do they? I didn't know that. And then if they lose a claw, it regrows during their molting period.
Yeah.
Kind of like a lizard. And if someone like grabs their claw and they need to get away, they'll just detach themselves from a claw.
So, yeah. So have you ever pulled up a lobster or crab and like one of their claws are bigger than the other?
Yeah.
Or we eat snow crabs or not snow crabs.
Blue crabs.
No, what's the big claws we all eat? They're only in season. They're expensive as fuck here.
Oh, king crab.
Nope.
Oh my gosh, I know. I can see them. I know what you're talking about.
It's so frustrating when my brain doesn't think.
It is. I know what you're talking about. Now you're going to have to look it up. Okay, you look it up. I'm going to go to the next point about crabs. Okay. They don't make noise. So, you know when you put a crab in a boiling pot of water and you hear that screaming, hissing noise?
Uh-huh.
That's not them screaming. Crabs lobsters don't have vocal cords or any ways to make a sound. So, they're saying it's probably just air escaping the shell.
I knew that, too, because
you
my
did?
Dad... Yeah, because, I grew up off the fucking Chesapeake Bay, and we grew up off of blue crab...
Okay, well, blue crabs, I get. You must have been some rich bitches because we couldn't afford lobsters.
No, we didn't eat lobsters, but when you go to boil the crabs, they scream, right? And so we're crying, and my dad told us that it wasn't them screaming. It was air in their bodies being released.
Oh,
so I just assumed it was any type of animal like that would have the same thing.
See, I don't remember the crabs screaming.
Oh,
I know
they
you
scream.
I know you have to hold down the pot because they'll crawl out.
Yeah, no, they scream too. It's terrible. It's a terrible sound.
Oh.
Stone crab. So Florida stone crab.
Yes.
That is an animal. They don't catch the entire crab when they're fishing for them. They pull them out of the water, pop off one of their claws, and throw them down. They leave them one claw.
Right.
But that way the other one will grow back and next year they'll take the next one.
Okay.
So they're never killing the full animal. They're just popping their claws off and tossing them back in the water.
So I wonder what a stone crab would actually taste like. Not just the claw, because you know the inside meat's got to be good.
It must not be, though, think about it. Here in Florida, stone crabs are seasonal, and they're market price. And market price is $25 to $40 for an appetizer.
Right.
Right? That you're serving with it is a luxury to eat. There's a lot of people in Florida that have not eaten stone crab. If they could make more money off the body, Why haven't they? And they're not a protected animal.
Well,
so
maybe,
why are we only eating the claws? It makes me feel like their body tastes like trash.
I don't know, but I've never tried it. So now I want to catch one and see what it tastes like.
Yeah, go over to the Gulf Coast. That's where they catch them.
I'd be
by
all
Steen
for
Hatchie
it.
Area, Crystal River. They've got
okay.
a bunch of boats out there. Go out there and catch one. Eat the body and let me know.
All right, I will. All right, so they have the lobsters have relationships that last 2 weeks. That's it, 2 weeks.
Sounds about right.
Right? Sounds like we've had some of those relationships.
Right.
They pee into the shelter. Then she has to molt and take her shell off, right? And then they mate. And then she stays around for about 7 to 10 days afterwards until her shell grows back, and then she leaves. And then another female comes in, and they do the exact same thing. And then another female comes in, and she does the exact same thing. So I'm guessing this is why she picks the most aggressive male, is because after they're done having sex, she's really exposed because she had to shed her shell.
Oh, great point.
And she needs additional production because now she's getting ready to fertilize her eggs. You know those fuckers carry 10,000 eggs inside of them?
So that was going to be my follow-up question. I have two now.
Okay.
One, does she get knocked up immediately? I mean, is that what's happening? Are they fucking to fuck or are they fucking to reproduce? I think we're the only people that fuck to fuck.
Yeah, no, they're only fucking to reproduce. But get this. It gets so much better.
I'm such a terrible person.
No, it's not. It's so awesome. So females can carry live sperm inside of them for up to 2 years.
Gross. I don't want anything of anybody on me for 2 fucking years.
So get this.
We already
though.
Broke up, what, a year and 50 weeks ago, and I still got your fucking sperm on me? Fuck you.
Not on, in. So
in my mouth, too. We already said it's all in their fucking head.
Yeah, but oh my God, it gets even better, Sabrina. Oh my gosh.
Fuck.
So sometimes Mr. Macho doesn't have enough sperm to fertilize all her eggs, so she's got to go find somebody else and do the whole thing over again. But then once she's got enough sperm, she decides when to fertilize the eggs. He doesn't actually do it. She finds the right climate and allows the sperm, I guess, to go into the egg sac at that point.
She's baby daddy shopping.
Pretty much is what she's doing. And
she's got a fucking hustle, that little lobster. I admire her. There's
she's like
girls in the hood doing that same thing. They're baby daddy shopping. All right, keep going.
And then she once she fertilizes them, they stay inside of her for up to a year. Then
the babies do?
The babies do. Inside of her for a year. And then
she gets swiped up and eaten.
And then after she's like laid them and they've hatched and they're these little babies or whatever, they stay under her tail for 9 to 11 months.
Goodness gracious.
They just, they won't leave the nest.
Okay.
So that's like 2 years.
How many babies are under
there? 10,000. There can be up to 10,000 eggs.
Well, she's not that big.
I know. Well, they're also itty bitty fucking tiny, right? They're not huge.
Crustacean. So wait, she's pregnant for 9 months?
She holds the baby. It said that they once they're fertilized, once the eggs are fertilized, they can stay inside of her for up to a year.
All
and then
in her head?
I guess. I don't know. I've never seen a pregnant.
I'm going to look up the anatomy of a fucking lobster. I just got to see one of those charts because
okay. That's
a lot to be fitting in such a little head, which just shows like how incredible
science is.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you look, my brain and everything takes 5'9" body frame to carry. Lobsters are only as big as my fucking forearm. And that's a good size lobster. And they're
right?
carrying two stomachs in there.
Two stomachs.
And
yeah.
10,000 babies.
Yeah. You can look it up. All right. The next thing is that lobsters can be cannibals. So the reason why a lot of lobsters...
Yeah, because they taste fucking delicious.
No, a lot of reasons why they don't grow to adulthood is because as babies, they fucking eat each other because they're competing for food. So they're like, ah, fuck you, I'm going to eat you now.
Well, they probably eat krill, right? Those little
the plankton.
Yeah, floating in the water. And I can imagine a super baby tiny lobster looks very similar to that, right? I mean, how big can a baby be?
Right. But so, like, they fucking eat each other.
Yeah, look, if I tasted like a lobster, I would have eaten my young as well. Whatever. Just dip her in butter.
And then lobsters don't show any signs of aging. No wrinkles here. Basically, all they do is they molt and regrow and regenerate. And then says that they could, if they don't get caught or eaten or killed, they could live up to 50 years in the wild.
That's a long time. Mm-hmm. 50 years is a long time.
Especially for
that. How many babies do they have during that? How many times? So after her 2-year commitment, is she back out there looking to fuck
again? I can only assume so, but I don't.
I'm sorry. She's not fucking. She's reproducing. She's a lady. Right.
She's a lady.
That carries cum in her mouth.
In her head. No, she carries cum in her head. No, she pees out of her mouth.
So there's. Yeah, they're a little bigger than I thought. It looks more like 4 segments. There's the tiny little head where we see the eyes that's kind of shaped like a triangle. And then there's a there's like a neck section, which I think is where all those organs and stuff are. And then there's the abdomen, which we would call the tail meat that we all eat. And then the fan of the tail. So I think everything's happening
the
in
top.
This
right
here where I was forgetting this section. I was thinking it was all just in this tiny
head. Yeah, no,
so I forgot that this part is pretty long, kind of a neck, and then this is all just meat, so there's nothing going on there, right?
Yeah, no, because that shit comes out clean, so there's nothing going on.
Yeah we don't have to clean it or anything. Yeah. Well, that's crazy. That's fucking insane. Who knew all that? And lobsters are mainly what? North,
Eastern.
Mm-hmm. East. And then we've got Florida lobsters.
Yep.
Which are smaller than Maine lobsters. Any lobsters on the West Coast?
I don't know. I don't. So look, I'm going to say the thing that nobody's allowed to say. I don't really like lobster.
I've heard other people
say
that.
I find it boring. I find it bland. I find it overpriced. I would rather eat Maryland blue crabs than I would lobster.
Yeah. I don't like a blue crab shucking party because if you've ever done one before, your fingertips end up stinging in pain, opening these sharp little fuckers up. It's a lot of work for a tiny, tiny bit of meat. But I will say with you, I've never gone to a restaurant and thought, I have to have a lobster tonight. I don't care about, I bought Lorelai a $90 lobster when we were in Texas. She got to pick it out of the tank. It was a 2.5-pound lobster. It was ginormous. She loves it. It was all right. It was good. It wasn't this watering in your mouth best thing I've ever had. I've had some really great chicken. Yeah. I think chicken is delicious. Yeah. I've had really good scallops.
Really great steaks.
Yeah, but I'm kind of on your side with that. I could do with
exactly.
I do love stone crabs though, but I think I like the dipping sauce.
But stone crabs have a natural; they have a different flavor in their meat. The same way with Maryland blue crabs, their meat tastes different. Mm-hmm. Same way when you because we ate crabs all the time growing up, so you would get the males over the female because the male's meat is sweeter than the female's meat.
Yeah, I guess I think it's based on preference because my mother is a sick little Filipino that likes the female and likes to eat the eggs off the crabs.
Oh, yeah.
She likes to mix it up into this paste and eat it.
Yep, I've heard of that. And then there was, there's some, I think it's Vietnamese, they eat the poop. They take it off the devil's, we call them the devil tongues. But basically it's the lungs and then the poop, and they take it and they eat right then. They're like, yum, yum, yum.
Yeah, my mom likes that part.
It's
too.
Actually not that bad.
I don't like the bitterness of it. I'm not disgusted if it ends up in my mouth. I'm not eating it.
Exactly. I'm like, it's not terrible. Yeah. So.
Yeah, same.
And like you were saying, you don't like the crab parties because it is a lot of work for just a little.
It's a ton of fucking work.
So when we have them at our house, it's not meant to be a dinner. It's meant to be a sit down and spend time with family and talk and drink and blah, 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 and shoot the shit while you're doing this particular task. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the way it is back home too, right? Is they just bring out the picnic tables. They pour the crab out on the table and you just sit there and pick crabs, drink beers, and talk. But I'm telling you, by the end of that, your fucking thumbs are
killing. Well, girl, yeah.
It's killing you. We did it like 2 years ago at my mom's house. Probably one of the last times we were all together. And by the end, nobody wants any more crab because they just cannot touch another one. It hurts too bad.
Wow. See, we don't have that problem. We can sit there for hours. And I don't know how you guys are doing it, not using the right tools, but we...
What do you mean? We use our hands.
Right, but there's other... So we have...
Girl, you are so white. Oh, you're talking to a bunch of fucking Filipinos. We don't use tools to open a blue crab. You shove your thumb in between the two and you pull it apart.
Oh, see.
And then there's your shell. And then you rip off the legs. It breaks. The white part breaks right in half. You scoop the meat out of there. I've never used a fork, a tong.
Only thing that we use is a small knife. If you have a hard time to split it apart after you've ripped the private area up and help crack it open.
Yeah, no, you just shove your thumb through there and pull the two pieces.
Yeah, no.
And then that's why, you know, if a blue crab has those rigid sides on it. I mean, a lot of our fans are from Virginia Beach, so they're probably cheering us on here where they get it, where, you know, you just shove your
fucking thumb.
Right, and
you go, and you take it apart. And then you use that shell as a place to store all your other shells.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. And then you rip your other ones out, and then you crack open all the legs, and you get all that little bit of meat out. Oh, yeah.
So did you used to go crabbing as a kid as well?
I went a couple of times with my mom, but it wasn't a big thing. We normally just bought our crabs.
Oh, okay. Okay. We would go late at night to the Chesapeake Bay. I don't know where. Rudy Inlet, I think, is where we were. But some people know what I'm talking about. But you go with raw chicken.
Yep.
And you just take a steak and you stick it in the sand and you toss the chicken on the end of the string just right there into the beach. And you sit out there and you walk with a long net and a flashlight. And when you don't have to do anything but just walk, and you just scoop them up. And you scoop them into these big coolers. And so then we would have like those big igloo coolers. Mm-hmm. Filled with fucking crabs, and then the next day go home and you boil it all and then just sit down and start eating all of them. It's a ton of fun. It's super exciting to catch all the crab. It's just the amount of work afterwards. And then I remember one time leaving it all with my sister, and even my mom and dad, we were all like, nope, we're good. And she was like, are you fucking kidding me? And she had a crab cleaning party at her house. She made us all go there and sit there and peel it all apart so she could freeze the crab meat. It was
torture. My goodness. See, we didn't really go crabbing. We just go and get the bushels or however much. So wasn't really, when everybody was done, there wasn't shit ton of crabs left over.
Yeah. No. We were going out and catching them. My mom cheats sometimes and buys them from the Asian market by the bushel. But most of the time, at least when I was younger, we were catching them.
I remember I had to go pick up some crabs for a thing. And I must have been like 17, 18. And a guy went with me. Guy was sort of dating whatever. We went in there and he's like, oh my God. Because he walked in and, you know, it smells like seafood. Like fresh seafood. He's like, oh. And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, that smells great. That's what it's supposed to smell like. And go in, and he's like, So I was like, I want this, this, and this. And he's like, that bucket, or that bucket. He hands me a bucket and some tongs. And the guy, I was like, you want to do this? And he's like, hell no. He was so scared. I was like, please. I took the bucket, the tongs, threw them. Ch-ch-ch-ch. I'm like, yeah. Weigh those bitches up. Let's go. And he was shocked. Needless to say, he didn't stay around very long.
Yeah, for real. Well, I wouldn't keep around.
I was like, you're
long.
A fucking pussy.
Scared of being pinched by a fucking crab? Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
I was like, you're a fucking pussy. Go on.
Right.
And
right.
I apparently am very pampered when it comes to eating my crabs. So, yeah, he's even worse.
No, you're not pampered. It's just, I think it's a white thing. I think white people use a lot of extra tools. Yeah. Filipinos, there's a lot of things that you shouldn't be using your fingers or you shouldn't be using silverware for. But they don't use silverware in general in that entire country. So, who knows? All right, what about birds? Did you send me something about
birds? Oh my gosh.
Birds?
Yes, I did. I can't believe what I read. The National Institute of Health did a study and found that opioids, I don't know, am I saying that right?
I think so.
Opioids make birds sing. So, my initial reaction is, what the fuck? Why are we spending money on a survey about how birds react to drugs that these drugs we now won't give to patients that fucking need it to solve their pain problems?
Right.
I'm like, so this is a bunch of fucking crap, right? Patients who have had car accidents and surgeries and stuff can't get the actual drugs that they need because it's an epidemic and da-da-da-da, right? I'm like, okay. And then so I thought it was a waste of money. And then the lady who was doing it said, when I listen to these birds sing, it seems as if they are enjoying themselves. Lauren Ritters, a PhD, a psychology professor at UW in Madison. Well, no fucking shit they're enjoying themselves. They're high as shit. What are you expecting? I enjoy myself when I take a pain pill, too. I'm like, this is so stupid. And they spent $338,000 on this study.
What was the purpose of the study?
It was supposed to examine defects in social communication. Exactly. Exactly.
How?
I have no idea. It did didn't even say they knew how, other than they were putting these drugs into the birds because these specific type of birds are social creatures like humans are, and that's their comparison. So I was like, that was just a waste of money. And why are they giving us our drugs?
Why are they giving us our drugs? I think they're giving out plenty of opioids, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I know some people. Dion went to the freaking hospital, had his foot in a cast, and all they gave him was Tylenol. I had a friend who chopped off her freaking finger, and all they gave her was Tylenol.
But they made it through it, right?
Yeah, but something a little bit nicer would have been a little helpful. Let's be real. She chopped off her fucking finger.
I think what happened with all of that is that I'm not against people getting Tylenol or Motrin, because if you've ever been in a military family, that's kind of the joke of well, I broke my leg. Well, what did you get?
Tylenol.
Motrin. It's all the military would prescribe was Motrin and all you would get. So I kind of agree. I heard your comments when you were reading it about not being able to get the drug. So I was wondering, you have some type of aversion to it, that I think that they overprescribe pain medicine. And I think that there is an overuse of opioids and pain meds in this country.
And
I mean, your friend survived, right?
She's all right. She's fine, you know.
Dion survived on
the Tylenol. And he was in a lot of pain, even with it. And you know, there were other people.
But he was standing up and working. Like you said on the podcast, you had a problem keeping him down, right? So maybe it's, I think the point is to give you enough relief that you can still function without just being a lump on the couch because then your recovery is
slow. Okay, that's a fair point. But I've had people that were like, they needed it and couldn't get it, you know, mm-hmm. so, mm-hmm. but now they're giving it to birds.
Yeah, it's, well, I don't understand the study at all. I don't understand how it correlates to social aspect. I've never heard of birds being compared to humans before, but maybe that's just something I'm right. missing. In regards to the opioid issue, I do think that there is definitely, I can remember getting my wisdom teeth taken out about 15 uh-huh. years ago, two of them that I still had left, and the dentist prescribing me pain meds.
Really?
And, oh yeah, a full-on narcotic pain meds. So much so that when I called for my follow-up, then they said, do you need more? And I said, yes. And so they just refilled it again while Nate and I were taking them for fun.
Right.
Which is what the problem is that 10 years ago, 15 years ago, they literally are just prescribing pain meds for everything. For Dion's broken toe, when maybe Tylenol or a Motrin and elevating his feet is all you need to avoid people becoming
addicted
to it and recreationally using it. And now I do agree that there's people in chronic pain that need stronger, right. but did I need a double dose of, and it was something fun. I don't know pain medicine very well to know the name of it, but it was good right. shit and it was strong.
Right.
Where we were like, yeah, we'll take some more. Why not?
Right. And there needs to be a balance between the two, right? Like you need to be right. cut off and the person who really needs it needs to be prescribed it. And I guess, and you know, and that's the thing, like, but because for so many years we've taken advantage of, oh, take this, take this, take this. They're now cutting it off even to the people that really do need it.
Right. Well, not everybody. I think that there's still, I can't stand these freaking pain management places that are literally just keeping people on pain meds. Yeah. I mean, there are people on pain meds that rather than go and rehab their bodies or whatever it might be that's required, they have become addicted and dependent on these Correct. Pain meds. And I do blame doctors for that. For over-prescribing and making it so easy to
right.
obtain.
Because I'm sure they were getting a kickback from the big pharmacies.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Not just from big pharmacies, but from the hospital itself. The more patients you see, the more bonuses you'll right. get. The more, to me, that is the craziest fucking thing I've ever heard. It is so unethical to incentivize a doctor
yes
on any type of prescription or surgery, for God fucking sakes. Right.
They should be incentivizing them on a full bill of health recovery.
Right.
Yeah, the yeah. more people yeah, you exactly. heal, the more money you make. How about that?
Right.
Not how many right. the more sick people you have, the more money you make. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I almost feel like some of these pain management people are just professional drug dealers.
Yeah, they just have a license.
Yeah, yeah, they've got a license and they're feeding somebody's addiction rather than finding a holistic way or therapeutic way to solve right. their pain.
That's crazy.
It's craziness to me. And they better watch out. We're going to end up with a bunch of fucking cracked out birds. If they're going to be testing fucking birds, they want, instead of just regular crackheads, we're going to have to worry about fucking cracked out birds, which is my worst.
It's Alfred
nightmare.
Hitchcock. Birds.
Right.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm not a fan of pain meds now. I used to, like I said, 15 years ago, we were doing it
yeah.
for fun. But, and only when a doctor would prescribe you something, like you said, you broke a toe and then for 2 months they're giving you pain medicine. So then it was like, all right,
yeah.
cool.
Work out all fun.
But yeah. Taking it now, when I had my tummy tuck and all that stuff, I really tried to be mostly on Motrin because I wanted to be awake. I wanted to, pain medicine just keeps you down in bed. It keeps you from healing, I think, as some of us right. should. You're supposed to feel a little bit of pain. Come on. We're fucking strong people right? here.
Exactly. So.
It's the first time Dion's
been I know. Visit. And he's just like a weird visitor.
Walking in.
Like a random. Like,
you're almost looking at him like, hello.
Don't
you've never done this before. Can right. you not tell I'm recording?
And he's coming into my closet.
I know.
It's so weird.
It is. All right. What else do you have for us?
I think that's it. Do you have anything?
Oh, no. Hey, so I did want to talk. Let me tell you about this article that I sent you a while ago. And okay. it was the transition of a Karen. So
okay.
everybody remembers that, you know, or knows, not remembers, that right now Kevin or Karen is like a trigger name. It's a white woman with this overprivilegedness just spewing out of her, right?
Right.
And this, I can't believe I've been inconvenienced. I'm going to call the cops about a barbecue kind of thing. So I found this article on NPR.com that says, what is a Karen? And it talks about the generational growth of a Karen and how each decade had its own, or a few eras had their own versions of a Karen.
Right.
And I like the way that they broke it down. So in throughout history, this is Karen's throughout history. It was originally called the Miss Anne, which was slang for a white woman who is aware of her whiteness and the status it conveys and is complicit with the system that preserves its status. So I thought that there's a lot of key words in there, right? She is aware of her whiteness and the status that it conveys and is complicit with the system that preserves its status. So she's well aware of what's happening.
Right. As we would have to admit that in that time, most white women would be, because that was the social norm.
Correct, yes. So it says that Scarlett O'Hara is often referenced in tandem with Miss Anne, since she too belonged to a slaveholding family and upholds the system, all while blissfully playing the role of a Southern belle. So you're right, majority of women at that time mirrored Scarlett O'Hara, and if you've seen Gone with the Wind. Now, obviously, there were some that did not enhold slaves and did not carry the same, but you're right. Generation-wise or era-wise, if we're talking about it, that was the norm.
Right.
So then it also says that it originated from the antebellum era,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't know that that's what that era was called. Which if anybody listens to country music, it recently, because of the state of what the country back in May, Lady Antebellum said that they were changing their name because of its racist connections to enslavement. And I thought that was just far east. I had no fucking clue what they were talking about.
Right.
Well, now I do. So the enslavement period was called, and this is from 1815 to 1861 was called the antebellum era. So then from the Miss Anne, which is not, let's all admit, a fun name. That's just not fun. I don't want to call, stop being a Miss Anne, Tabby. That's right. Not fun. The next one, it starts to get a little better. Originated in the 1990s, Becky. Becky is slang for a white woman who is happily ignorant and unaware of her whiteness, but is complacent with the system that upholds her status. She is often overly dramatic when confronted with her whiteness. She may or may not be a valley girl. And it says that, in the article, it says that Becky is referenced most famously in, oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. It is like so big. She must be one of those rap guys' girlfriends or something. So that is an impersonation of the 90s version of a Karen. It's this white girl that is just like, oh my God, I totally didn't even realize that.
Right.
Right. So I can picture that version. I know that version very well from the 90s. And then originated in 2010, here comes Karen.
Karen is a shorthanded for a woman who, again, is usually white. She's convinced her way is the right way, whether it is about charcoal grilling in the park, policing non-white people's behavior, or speaking to or demanding to speak to a manager or higher authority who gets what she wants.
Yep.
She's the kind of person who posts on Nextdoor about suspicious looking person walking around her neighborhood or demands to be let to a grocery store without wearing a mask, which I think that's a little off topic.
Yep.
So what did you think about these three descriptions, and do you fall into any of them?
So I see the reference and everything that they're talking about. I don't think I entirely fall into any of them. Yeah, because I'm not the person that's going to complain unless it absolutely needs to be done, right? Mm-hmm. But the one thing I did notice is, and it's going to be sort of off topic off of it, is that why do we use women's names to describe something negative?
Well, because this is negative descriptions of women. Of a type of woman.
Right. But when we talk about, but we don't have any negative descriptions of men like this. I was thinking about.
They're just dickheads.
Right. But, but we don't call them, oh, you're a fucking Richard. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so anybody who's called Karen now has got this stigma against her name and she may not have done shit.
Right. Right.
I don't think I fall into any of the category. You know what I mean? I don't think so. What about you?
I mean, I definitely think that I fall into a Becky category up until a certain point of my life and quite honestly, late into my adulthood, right? And I think that this is where the problem of some of what's going on is happening is Becky is slang for a woman who is happily ignorant and unaware of her whiteness, but is complacent with the system that upholds her status. That's
all three of them.
No, it's there's a difference because.
Well, the sentence is the same. That's basically the same sentence you said about Miss Anne. About
no, it's
Becky.
Not. It's completely different. Miss Anne is slang for a white woman who is aware of her
whiteness. Okay.
Where a Becky is happily ignorant.
Okay.
And unaware of her whiteness. So this is 100% me because just talking about how poor my best friend was, right? Like when she was in town the other day, we always make jokes about, no, Jamie didn't have fucking cable because she was poor. Jamie didn't have fucking vegetables because she was poor. Like her family was fucking poor.
Right.
And I told her after everybody left that I don't even think I realized how poor she was because I wasn't. You know, Nate asked her, well, what did Sabrina's house look like growing up? And she said, well, she lived in one of the nicest neighborhoods that went to our school. You know, there were two of the nicest and she lived in one. And it was like a slap in the face to me that I didn't even realize that I realized that she came from a single working mom, right?
Right.
But just blissfully unaware of the world around me because that's.
But that's because okay. because you're kids.
No, even I'm telling you up until just the other day that I said to her, I didn't even realize how poor you were. I'm 40 years old. There is a big generation and there's a big group of people in this country that doesn't make them a bad person. That doesn't make me a bad person. Just blissfully unaware of the way the world is. When it's not affecting your everyday life and you think, oh, well, I'm not racist. I got a couple black friends and I'm not racist. I've got this. I'm not that. Becky wasn't racist. She was just blissfully unaware, but thriving in the system that holds other people down too.
Right.
You're like, oh, okay, well then I'm not racist, but am I actually helping against racism? Am I doing anything against it? No, because you're sitting in your ignorance rather than realizing that the world isn't just what you're looking at.
Right. And it's hard to move outside of that bubble for anybody, right?
Right. Right. And I think that people are uncomfortable saying that. Uncomfortable saying, yeah, I'm a little ignorant to the world at times. There's a whole portion of this country, of this city, that I've never been in, that I'll never understand what those worlds are like.
Right. And like I, or in general, because like you grew up with a Filipino mother, right? So you grew
right, yeah.
I have no concept of what that means. I have no idea of the experiences that you have or the way that the system might be holding you down, because there's nothing for me to compare it to. I have no experience.
Right. Right.
You know?
Do you think that one of the versions of a Karen, the three that they've described, is more dangerous than the other?
The first one, because she's aware, mm-hmm. and yet she continues to do it. But I also have to take the Miss Anne in today's society is that she's aware and she expulses it and uses it to her advantage. That is the dangerous part. Miss Anne in the 1800s, 1900, right? That, unfortunately, was the social norm, and it was the time of our country, right? Right? But in today's time, if you take that Miss Anne and put her in today, she's dangerous.
Right.
What about you?
Right. Charlemagne talks about that a lot. When they're talking about racism or looking at the past, you have to think about what was okay in the past too, right? People were operating just like paying tax laws. If you're operating within the laws and in the norm, like they refer to us 90 kids all the time. We call people retarded. We said, you're so gay. Stop being fucking stupid. Don't be a faggot, or, oh God, look at that fag. Like we said those things. It just in everyday terms, it didn't even bother people. It was part of our language. So then to hear somebody go back and say, oh, did you hear they used the word the retarded in 1998? Yeah, everybody was, including our teachers. They were saying, hey, stop being a bunch of retards and sit down. You want to go to special ed class?
Right.
No, none of us wanted to. So yeah, I like that you pointed that out, because Miss Anne was thriving in a generation that, or an era that that's what was happening
right.
in that time. But there were other people, probably a smaller minority of people, that were not Miss Anne's during that time, which then is what sparked the freeing of
Correct.
The slaves, right? That had to come
right,
from
exactly.
somewhere.
And because as our country, as we evolved as a society, so did our customs and traditions, and we started to wake up and realize that this isn't right. We have to make changes and we better ourselves, right? That's where it started from. So, but to judge someone for something they did and said in their error is not fair. You know, I had, you know, someone who may judge us for stuff that we said in the 90s, someone is going to judge this generation for something they said in this time. Because as we evolve and as we learn, we grow. But going back and saying, you said this and you're so horrible because you did this, that's not fair. You're not going to learn and you're not going to grow. And you're sure as hell not going to get those people who said it in a norm time to change their mind to move forward.
Right, right. I think for me, out of the three that's the worst, I would challenge that maybe the ignorant Becky is the worst, right? Because there's no growth from that. Her ignorance is just ignoring anything that's going around. You're thriving in a system that is set for you to succeed and others to fail. So you're just living your life and moving on and not looking at the greater good and your neighbors and everybody else around you. I would say that to me, a Becky is more dangerous because of the blatant ignorance to it. There's no growth with a Becky. If you're not willing to look at anything and you're not even aware of the world around you.
Right, because her world is very similar to Miss Anne's, where it's just this. Right?
Right. It's very much Cher from Clueless, right? It's, you know, her saying that... She donates all her money to Mexico, and her brother says she's from El Salvador, and she goes, how am I supposed to know where that is? Now I'm insensitive.
Right.
Well, yeah, like it matters what country she's from. And for us to just be like, oh, well, you speak Mexican? No, there's no Mexican language. They speak Spanish. Right. Like, and I've said that before. I said that to a waiter, and one of my friends was like, they don't speak Mexican? And I was like, what did I say? And they were like, Mexican. And I was like, oh, my bad.
Right. And, you know, and again, that comes from not being part of that culture. And in your perfect mm-hmm. example, she's completely clueless, right? Mm-hmm. Even when it's time and she gets dropped off in that other side of LA and has ruined her shoes, she has no concept of where she is and her surroundings because she was never in it. Do you know what I mean?
That would be like dropping me off in Norfolk. Right. I would have called my dad from a payphone crying, telling him I didn't know where I was.
Exactly. And it's life experiences.
Mm-hmm. But it's got to be life experiences. The problem with Becky's is they don't push themselves out of their box, right? So a Becky has grown up in her hometown. She's thrived in that area. She's never traveled to Norfolk. She's never traveled to Portsmouth. She's never traveled to California or the other sides of the world to even begin to discover what it's like. And I think that's what makes Becky more a Karen or a Miss Ann is somebody we can identify, something that we can pinpoint and say, this is what needs to be fixed and stopped. You can't call the police on people for having a fucking barbecue in a public park, Karen.
Right.
But a Becky has no fucking clue what's going on.
And Becky has no clue what's going on about anything because Becky is
anything. And only in her. She is well aware of what's going
and
on
that's
in
it.
Her own world.
And you know, that is a conscious decision. She's made the choice to stay ignorant.
It is, and I think that we probably have more Becky's still around today than we do Karen's. I think that there are a lot of people that are screaming all lives matter, all this other stuff at black people and saying it's not that fucking bad, it's not that terrible, just do this, just do that, that live in this ignorance of what could possibly be true. None of us want to think that all these things are going on. None of us want to think that we're doing so well while others at somebody else's detriment, right? So it's easier just not to believe it. So I think that there's probably more blissfully ignorant Becky's around than there are pissed off Karens.
Yeah, and because the blissfully ignorant Becky's are quiet and they're minding their own business and doing their own thing. Karens are out there making a fucking stink and whatever, and they're getting put on the fucking news.
Yeah, and I don't think Karens are being quiet. What they're saying is there's not a problem.
No.
There's not a problem. Racism isn't a problem. Racism, there's no issue here. There's nothing going on. The world is fine. I have black friends. What do you mean? My neighbor's black.
Right.
That's what Becky's saying. I have one black lady that I go to a yoga class with. I'm not racist. I think there's more of them than there are Karens.
No.
And that's a huge problem.
Yeah, I can see that.
Oh. All right. Anything else?
No, I think that was it.
All right. Sweet. Well, then say our goodbyes.
All right, guys.
Can you say it like a Valley girl?
Fuck no. I am not a Valley girl. Never been a Valley
girl. You don't have an accent?
No, I won't do it.
You don't have any accents?
Well, no, I do, but no. No natural accent.
You can't do any accents,
Tabby. No, I can't do any accents. Not going to do any for you. I'm sorry. And Valley Girl is not a chance in hell. I hate Valley Girls. I think they're horrible.
Why do you hate people? You hate basic people. You hate Valley Girl. Why do you hate Valley Girl?
Maybe hate.
Does that mean you don't like the movie Clueless?
Actually, I like the movie Clueless. But
she didn't grow up in the Valley. She grew up in Beverly Hills, but.
Okay. Valley Girls, the noise, the sound they make drives me crazy. I want to stab them. So I might not hate them. I just want to stab them.
Interesting.
It is, isn't it? I'm a conundrum.
Yeah. All right. Say your goodbyes. I got to go anyhow.
All right. All right, guys. As always, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, give us a shout out at notasafespacepodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Have a great day, guys.
Bye.